This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
That'll wake you up if you're feeling sleepy. Or as some of you tell me, you listen to the show with headphones while you're laying in bed. I don't know that music will help you sleep at all. That's not conducive to slumber and calm and peace. But there are others of you who tell me you fall asleep listening to the show, so that's good news. Whatever it is that you need, we aim to provide this full service operation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Hope that you kicked your Monday in the rear end. I know that the top story on Saturday is still the top story on Monday. I am fascinated by the way this Caitlin Clark, Kennedy Carter situation and the sky versus the fever, but mostly just the debate and the opinion swirling around Caitlin in the WNBA have become the biggest thing going, even for news networks. I'm telling you, I've listened and watched multiple news networks over the past couple of days, and this is being addressed and talked about by hosts who will readily admit they never talked about the WNBA in their lives before now. We're asking you, if not Caitlin Clark and the WNBA, is there a sport or an event, something you paid attention to simply because of one athlete? My example is Tiger Woods. I had watched very little golf and had zero interest in watching it, thought it was super boring on TV until Tiger came along, and then I didn't miss a tournament for years and years. And I gave you a couple of other examples. In individual sports, it's certainly a little easier to point to those athletes. But in team sports, I dare say there are plenty of people who have become fans of a particular sport simply because of one athlete with some crazy moment that kind of sucked them in, or just the success of an athlete that transcended his or her sport. So again, you can find us on Twix at A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's kind of funny, too, because take us back, say, a month ago, and it was the Dodgers and Ohtani who were all the rage.
Well, Mookie ready, and here comes the 1-1. He swings, hits a drive down the left field side. It is toward the corner. It is gone. The 52nd career leadoff home run for Mookie Betts. He swings and he hits a drive to center field and deep. Going back to the wall. It is. Did he catch it? Freddie's already around second base.
It's a home run.
And Brenton Doyle was acting as though he caught it, and that is going to be ruled a home run.
And that's all we're trying to do is win series. When you lose the first one, that's always tough. But we played well the last couple days, got the series win. And this is, we'll just continue this as our road trip, and we'll head back out on the road tomorrow. But to get the come home and see the fans again and get the series win, it's always good.
That is the voice of Freddie Freeman, and the Dodgers have the best record in the National League West, second best record in the National League. So as always, some things never change. The seasons, they keep coming. Taxes, they must get paid. And then there's the Dodgers, who dominate the National League West. Our friend Michael Duarte of NBC LA, he's right in the center of all of it. And I don't know that we really want to talk Dodgers, but it is kind of funny because the last time we had you on the show, Mike, the Ohtani story was still front and center, Ipe Mitsuhara and the $17 million and what would happen in court. Man, is it just nationally it's died down, or in LA is it kind of quiet around him too?
No, it's died down, Amy, and you know, that's one example. I want to talk more about women's sports too, and with Angel Reese's comments, because I've been listening here to the show for the last hour.
Boom.
But
thank you.
I mean, like, when I go to Dodger Stadium, and we'll talk about this, I see Japanese people wearing Shohei Ohtani jerseys. Their faces are painted. They're like in full costumes. And I'm telling you, I don't think these people were watching baseball 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. I think a lot of people in an entire country, especially here in Los Angeles, where the Japanese culture is very well represented in Little Tokyo and downtown, not too far from Dodger Stadium, come out to watch Shohei Ohtani play, come out to watch Yamamoto pitch. Mm. These are people coming out to watch these specific players, not necessarily the sport as a whole. And then to Angel Reese's point, I suppose, if you are lured in by a single player, then you kind of can end up falling in love with the sport and liking it long term. I know I'm going on a tangent, but for me personally, I'm going to be dating myself here, but when Wayne Gretzky joined the Los Angeles Kings, I didn't grow up in Canada. Hockey was not native to me. I'm a Los Angeles native. I don't even think I had an ice skating rink within 50 miles of me. But when Gretzky joined the Kings and they made the cup in 93 against the Canadians, all I wanted to do was play hockey and be like Wayne Gretzky. And the only reason I got into that sport was because of that player. And here we're seeing it in the United States with Lionel Messi coming to America. People who've known him internationally for decades are now coming to soccer and watching MLS soccer for the first time, because the greatest player in the world, arguably, is now in Miami and playing across the United States. So, mm-hmm. So those are great examples of what you talked about. As far as Ipe Mizuhara and Shohei Ohtani and the scandal, no, it's not national news. It's not even really local news. And even when there's been twice now where Ipe Mizuhara has had to show up to court, he's already pled a deal, but he pled no contest in his arraignment hearing. Reporters are coming up to him. LA Times reporters are following him, but it's not something that's still front of mind for people here in Los Angeles. They seem to move past it at this point.
I wondered whether or not there would be a bit of a resurgence or regurgitation, considering that there is I know he's not active right now, but a Padre infielder who is facing potentially a lifetime ban from baseball because he bet on the game while he was injured with a torn ACL.
Correct, yeah. And then you have David Fletcher, former Angels shortstop, who actually was the one who introduced Ipe Mizuhara to the bookie in Orange County, Matthew Boyden. And you know, now that's coming out, but he bet on sports. And so, yeah, I don't think this story's going away. Obviously, the investigation, the federal investigation that kind of uncovered all this, is still ongoing and uncovering more and more as it goes on, including implicating big casinos like the Resorts World Casino, where I was at during the Super Bowl, where you and I were at probably. I don't know if you went over there, but I was over there for many events. They're now implicated as being the one who was cleaning and laundering Matthew Boynton's money, who he was filtering in this illegal money through. So this story is going to keep going and getting bigger, but I think Shohei Ohtani's role in it at this point is pretty much over, and people have moved on from it. On the Ipe Mizuhara side, what I've been hearing is once this is behind him, he's pled guilty, done his fines or paid whatever, he's probably going to get deported and go back to Japan and live out his days there. To what we kind of talked about early on in this scandal, where maybe that's where we would see him end up with something for taking the blame for all this. And I think that's what's going to end up happening as far as him going back to Japan. And we never really hear from him again.
Wait, jail or not jail? Like, as a free man in Japan?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be seeing jail time from this. Like I said, in these cases, the money laundering is going to be a big deal. But from what I'm hearing, as part of the plea deal and the agreement that he took to plead guilty, he will be deported back to Japan. That's what I'm hearing.
As a free man, my mouth is wide open. So you can bilk nearly $17 million from a colleague and somehow you can avoid all jail time?
Well, he still could serve some jail time. We'll see what it says. But as part of what I'm hearing from part of the plea deal that he said is that he's going to implicate some higher-ups in this, maybe some other people, obviously help out with the investigation into Matthew Boynton himself, which started all this. And like I said, in these cases, the big thing here is
the gambling ring.
Stealing. But the stealing of the $17 million from Ohtani is what could put him in jail. But placing the bets illegally, most of the time it's not the clients that place the bets. It's the bookies and the people that are laundering the money that take the falls for these things.
Michael Duarte is with us from NBC LA, where the Dodgers were off tonight. So we really just wanted to talk to him because we missed you, Mike. But I'm also wondering, why don't the Lakers have a coach?
That's a great question. Now, maybe, Amy, they don't have a coach right now because the coach they want is about to be broadcasting the NBA Finals for ABC and ESPN. And if you listen to sources and people inside the Lakers organization, this is a man they think could be the second coming of Pat Riley. Oh. And also potentially the one that makes LeBron James sign on the dotted line and return to the Lakers for the remainder of his career before he decides to hang it up. And I'm talking, of course, about ESPN analyst J.J. Redick and the host of the podcast, and he has his own, I think, the Old Man in the Sea podcast and the Three podcast, and then he's got this other podcast with LeBron James where he's chopping it up with X's and O's. And obviously this is what LeBron likes about him. The Lakers like him as well, thinking they can kind of get a guy that could be there for the future. Now, they still have their eyes on some other coaches. James Boyega is one guy. Kenny Atkinson's another guy. Obviously, those names are also being floated out and being interviewed for other openings right now. But I think the Lakers really want to wait for this NBA Finals to end so they can bring J.J. Redick in and see if this is indeed their guy. And what I've been hearing and told is that's where they're leaning as of right now, as far as him and trying to build a staff of experienced veteran assistant coaches around him. To try to make LeBron James happy, to work with him, and we'll see. I don't necessarily think it will work out, but the coach that I would have brought in if I was the Lakers would have been a experienced head coach in the NBA with championship pedigree who's won a championship before to kind of help the Lakers get over the hump, but it just doesn't seem like that coach is out there right now. And so if it's not, then maybe you try to find whoever could be the next guy that could be like that, you know, the next Steve Kerr, you could argue, is what the Lakers see J.J. Redick as, and I think that hopefully answers your question of why they don't have a head coach in place as of this moment.
I mean, they had Frank Vogel, an experienced veteran coach who was supposed to help them get over the hump, and then they had Darvin Ham, and whether or not J.J. Redick is the second coming of Steve Kerr or some amazing coach, I guess, remains to be seen, but it certainly seems fairly clear that what they most want to do is appease LeBron.
Absolutely. The Lakers are in the LeBron James business, and that's not just having him on the court. It's the selling the jerseys. It's selling his name. It's billboards in his honor. It's partnering essentially with Clutch Sports to bring in other free agent players like Anthony Davis, who's a Clutch Sports client with LeBron James's agent, Rich Paul. Those people in having Maverick Carter, LeBron James' business partner on the entertainment side, and then all the TV shows and things that he does sitting courtside for games. And potentially this is even going to drafting Bronny James if they have a chance to take him at 55 or move up to get him. They're willing to do that to keep, you know, LeBron and James happy and be in the LeBron James business, whatever it takes to do that. And Jeannie Buss absolutely loves LeBron. She wants to take care of her superstars. So she's also willing to do whatever it takes to bring LeBron back and make him happy and make sure when he does decide to hang up his basketball shoes, he's doing it in the purple and gold. And I think if the Celtics, which most people assume is the favorite to win their 18th NBA championship and then go one up on the Lakers, they're going to want to do everything they can to make sure that LeBron and the Lakers catch Boston in that championship chase here and do that here in the next couple of years. Now, to your point, which you just mentioned, I think the choices we talked about as far as a championship pedigree coach, Ty Lue would have been the perfect guy. Jason Kidd would have been the perfect guy maybe too. Unfortunately, word leaked out from the media that the Lakers were interested in these people and those coaches who were on teams at the time of this news and in the playoffs at the time, those teams went and locked them up long term, which I think was the right moves for the Clippers and Mavericks respectively. So it kind of put the Lakers in a tough spot. I floated out something that you just mentioned, which is, and I don't think it will happen, but What if you brought back Frank Vogel for two more years? He's a guy that knows LeBron James and Anthony Davis well. They both seemingly liked him. The fact that he's a video and a tape guy, his strategies defensively are very good. He likes defensive-minded players. He has the personnel now that he didn't have a few years ago when the Lakers decided to fill the roster with old, aging veterans like Carmelo and other guys. And so if you want to maybe bring in a J.J. Redick, and I know Rajon Rondo's name has been floated. He was a point guard under Frank Vogel. Put these guys under him for a year or two to learn. And if LeBron and AD are okay with that, I think that might work out. I know the reason why the Lakers ended up parting ways with Frank Vogel 3 years ago was because of Russell Westbrook coming in and those two butting heads and Russell Westbrook not wanting to go to the bench and not wanting to get benched late in games. He's now long gone. And so maybe that could be something, or maybe Frank Vogel was just so hurt at how that relationship ended and severed that he would not want to come back. But that was one I thought about as far as a guy that knows the system, knows the players, knows the organization, is now available. He's a championship coach with the Lakers. And maybe that could get J.J. Redick and Rondo and some of these guys some experience as assistants under him, and then maybe J.J. Redick becomes the guy of the future after that. We'll see.
So, Michael, I'm going to make a statement, and you tell me if it's true or false, please, in your opinion. The Lakers care more about keeping LeBron happy and keeping him on the roster than they do about winning in 24-25.
I would say true, but if both things could be true, I think they think that the only way they win in 24 and 25 is if LeBron James is on the roster. And so making him happy and keeping him in purple and gold is how they do both.
Including potentially drafting his son, who they likely wouldn't touch. Most franchises wouldn't touch, especially not with a first round pick, if not for his dad.
Yeah, that's true. And I think they would absolutely do that. And I think the Lakers know beyond just what having Bronny on the team and making LeBron happy and then also selling jerseys and merchandise that could do with having both LeBron and Bronny on the same team. Now, there's rumors out there that the Phoenix Suns think that if they draft Bronny James, then perhaps they could get LeBron to come play with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and create this super team and get over the hump. Now, I think the Suns only have a first-round pick. It might be at 19 or 20, somewhere in that range. Would they be willing to take Bronny that early in the first round when he's a projected second-rounder, late second-rounder at best, just to think maybe LeBron would come to Phoenix? It's definitely an interesting idea that's being floated out there, and we'll see if it comes to fruition. But right now, it doesn't seem like many teams are up to doing that outside of the Lakers and the Suns right now as far as drafting Bronny in the first round, late first round or early second round.
Gotcha. Michael Duarte of NBC LA is with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. How much interest have you seen in the LA Sparks? How much have you seen it spike since the Caitlin Clark WNBA entry?
Yeah, so, you were talking about this, Amy, leading into this segment. Just teams, television shows, outlets that have never covered the WNBA before. I'm here openly to admit, as a tenured reporter and veteran at NBC here in Los Angeles, I had never covered a regular season WNBA game. I've covered the times the Sparks have been in the finals, but I've never covered a regular season game until they were like, you're assigned to that Sparks Fever game, Caitlin Clark's debut here in Los Angeles. And it was a sold-out, raucous environment, celebrities sitting courtside.
Wow.
I saw fans dressed up as sailors, all men, rooting for Caitlin Clark. Obviously, Caitlin Clark hit two big threes late in the game after she couldn't hit a shot to save her life for most of that game. But all the attention was around her. Obviously, it was around her and Cameron Brink, two rookies going head-to-head who are part of this next generation of WNBA players. And I've been following this story as well. I don't know. I think whatever she's doing is great for the game, is good for the game. I also understand, like you said, she's a rookie coming in, that she shouldn't be babied. And if there's going to be hard fouls and veterans who want to prove her and welcome her to the league, just like you talked about when it's a rookie quarterback, you have these veteran defensive men who want to put the quarterback on their behind and welcome them to the league in different ways. She's going to get a lot of that. But if she is, the next coming for the WNBA, the superstar, the Steph Curry of the WNBA, as people said, she's going to be able to have to endure this and rise above it and win despite of it. And if she can do that, then it's just going to bring more and more eyes and attention on the WNBA, which I think is good for sports overall.
What was the reaction inside the arena when she hit those threes?
Oh, they went crazy, and it was the opposing opponent.
Right.
And here, and it was, the Fever were winless going into that game, and they come here and they beat the Sparks, getting their first win. There was a lot of people cheering and excited about that. And that's the kind of attention Caitlin Clark's going to get, whatever arena she goes into across this country. And she did it, obviously, with some deep three-pointers, you know, close to the logo, which is kind of her trademark, obviously. But what I was watching in that game was, and this is to the comment that Caitlin Carter made, obviously, who pushed Caitlin Clark in the game that you were speaking of when she was playing with the Chicago Sky, saying something like, all she does is hit threes. I know I'm misquoting her, but you had quoted her earlier correctly,
right.
Something along those lines. But to disprove that, when Caitlin Clark's shot wasn't falling for the first 3.5 quarters of that game against the Sparks, she was affecting the game in other ways, and specifically with her passing, which was very, very high-level basketball IQ passing, some of the passes she was able to make and thread the needle. The assist that she was able to rack up in that game when her shot wasn't falling, I thought showed that Caitlin Clark is not just a three-point shooter, to what Carter said. She can do more with the basketball. She can help her teammates. Obviously, she kept them in the game, helped them take the lead the second half because they were down, I think, 6 or 8 at the half, and then obviously hit the two big shots that sealed that victory. And then obviously she did it again with some of the free throws she made against the Sky in a game the Fever won by 1. So she's not just a three-point shooter. She can use elements of the game, and that's what the greats do. When a part of their game isn't going right, they find it in different ways. I'm reminded of Kobe Bryant in Game 7 of the 2010 NBA Finals against the Boston Celtics, or maybe it was 2011, and he couldn't hit a shot to save his life in that game, so he decided to go out there and get like 15, 16 rebounds and obviously made the assist to Ron Artest, who hit that big three that ended up sealing that. So when things aren't going your way and your shot's not falling, you find other ways to impact the game and help out your teammates, and you can still seal victory, and that's a sign of a great player, not just like a role player or a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, she's not top 5 in the WNBA in scoring right now, though she is averaging 15.5 points per game. But she's top 4 in the league in assists. She's got nearly 6.5 assists per game. She's also averaging 5 rebounds. So, yeah, anybody who thinks she's just a three-point shooter isn't actually paying attention. And she is getting her welcome to the WNBA couple of weeks here. But it's funny when people talked about how if she fails, that phrase is ridiculous. Again, she's a very talented basketball player. There's no way she fails unless she gets hurt. It just takes some time to get acclimated, similar to any athlete who's going from college to the pros. But I do think it's fascinating that right now everybody has an opinion about Caitlin Clark. No matter who you are in this country, you've got an opinion about Caitlin Clark.
Absolutely, and I think she passed what Sabrina Ionescu's record for the first one to like 150 points as a rookie. She's still doing it at some of the greats in the game right now at the same, if not a faster pace than they're going for. And like you said, there is an acclimation period when you ascend in the leagues. The game's going to be faster at the WNBA level, the professional level, compared to the collegiate level, and the talent is going to be a lot better. It's like the best 1 or 2% in college are now going to be playing day in and day out the pros. And you're going against people like Brittany Griner, Diana Taurasi, Sabrina Ionescu, and the names go on and on and on. The other stars in the league, the people that laid the groundwork in the path for the Caitlin Clarks and the Angel Reeses to come in, there's going to be a bit of a learning curve. Caitlin is seeing it now, but once she kind of gets it figured out, and that may take a year or two, oh man, it's going to be amazing to watch her once she's thriving. And, you know, Steph Curry, when he came into the league, he wasn't the Steph Curry we saw now. I think he went, what, like 9th or 10th and picked so many people picked over him. But he changed and revolutionized the game. The game of basketball, the way we know it and watch it now at the NBA level, would not be what it was if it wasn't for Steph Curry. When Steph Curry was drafted, it was a big man's game. And now it's a guard game and a three-point shooting game and a very high, fast-paced game. And I think people like women like Sabrina Ionescu and women like Caitlin Clark are going to be kind of that next era of WNBA, and we're going to see where the game goes and transcends because of those players.
Mm, and great minds think alike. You can ask producer Jay to confirm, but I have used the Steph Curry example about, you know, coming out of college, skinny kid who could shoot the three. He would go everywhere. He had handles, but he had to get tougher. He had to get stronger because he wasn't going to be able to withstand the rigors of an 82-game NBA regular season against guys who were bigger, faster, stronger, and were trying to wear him out. But he did. He acclimated. And as you point out, he's revolutionized basketball at the pro level. It's always good to talk to you. Our friend Michael J. Duarte, that's how you can find him on Twitter. He is award-winning for NBC LA, and we're always excited to spend a few minutes with you, mostly because of all the guests that we have. Well, it's not mostly. I mean, mostly because he's our friend, but also because of all the guests we have, he's the only one who listens for an hour before he hops on the show, which I think is incredible in the way that you do your homework, Mike. So thank you.
I think everyone should be listening, and that's not just when it comes to sports talk radio, but just in general. I think it would make for a much, much better society if we all just took the time to listen to people, listen to others, and listen yes. in general. I think we'll learn a lot more. So thank you for saying that, and I like talking different things with you, and to talk women's basketball, I think, was great to talk with you, and so I look forward to talking with you again. Thank you. Have a good show.
Thank you. A first for us, too. So there's Mike admitting that he had just recently covered his first WNBA game and is okay admitting it. And the first time I've ever talked about it with him, talked about the LA Sparks with him. So there's a lot of firsts, and they all kind of tie back to the attention that's been generated by Caitlin Clark. All right, on Twix, at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, too. We're glad to have you with us. Wait until I tell you what my neighbor said to me on Monday afternoon. And also, a couple little programming notes that I want to make sure we follow up on. I was almost going to go to Marco Belletti, but it's not time for that yet. Just pause that. Wait.
Doors take us to summers away. Or winter adventures. And afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
That. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Many doubted we ever see it. And here it is. The return to glory.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jim Nance on CBS, Tiger Woods' latest major win, 2019, the Masters. That was probably the event, the moment of the year in sports, even with everything that happened in 2019. And I've used him as the example, a sport that I watched solely because of one person. And I know many of you are in the same boat when it comes to Tiger Woods. But Angel Reese doesn't believe that people are tuning into the WNBA just because of Caitlin Clark. And I'm telling you, that's not my experience. She can have one experience, but there are a lot of people who are watching the league now who never watched before because of Caitlin. Now, maybe if they like the product, they stick around. But you've got to be completely blind not to know that every single game or arena the Fever play in, the fans are showing up in ways that they aren't showing up at other games where she's not playing. And the reason why almost every single one of the Fever games is on national TV this year is because of Caitlin. And it's okay. Hopefully they like the product and they stick around. So that's one example in a team sport. I say, you know, you could probably use Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, you know, the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson rivalry. All along the way, there are superstars that will transcend the game and will attract new fans. And if they stay, great. But sometimes it is showing up simply for one athlete, or that's how their interest was originally piqued. Maybe Justin Jefferson is that way. We'll talk about his new deal coming up, and he has a long list of people to thank. Like, he's receiving an award, which I think is smart. You get paid? Yeah, thank the people that helped you get there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Some of you may remember that before I got married, I had just kind of shared the news. And I remember one morning I was walking Penny and my neighbor was outside. He lives across the street from me. I don't see him all the time. We don't keep the same hours, but every now and then we would cross paths early in the morning. And I remember he asked me, how's it going? What's going on? And I said to him, I'm getting married. And his response was, and I quote, no way. Do you guys remember I told that story? And so I was a little taken aback, but I did put a post up on social media, just kind of, yes, pigs are now flying. It is true. Amy's getting married. And so I hadn't seen this neighbor in quite a while. He's not outside as much in the wintertime. So started to be outside a little more, do yard work. And he grabs, well, he doesn't grab me, but he like grabs my attention on Monday afternoon. And he says to me, you know how you told me you do radio for CBS Sports Radio? Now, that was obviously back when we were not this new network, the INF Sports Network. And I said, yeah. And he said, so you're Amy Lawrence? Yes, that's me. Doesn't it sound like me? Well, yeah, it does. He said, I wasn't really sure if I had the right Amy. So I guess he went and Googled me after that conversation. But he said, his son's in his 20s, I think. My son kept telling me, that's Amy. That's our neighbor. So he was all proud of himself that he figured out that his neighbor across the street is Amy Lawrence. So that was one thing. And then he goes, by the way, now I don't know if you heard this on the radio or maybe, you know, sometimes you can Google social media and see posts, right? Even if you don't follow a particular person. He said, remember how I told you, no way, when you said you were getting married? And I said, yes, I do. I said, I actually talked about it on my radio show. And his response was, well, it was only because I thought you were going to move. And I didn't want you to move. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to be negative. And it was just such a weird thing to bring up. So I wondered if either A, he'd been thinking about it for a while, or B, he actually heard me talking about it on the air and felt like he needed to clarify.
I think you made him feel bad.
Hey, he's the one that said, no way.
I think you made him feel bad.
What kind of response is that? What if you told me, when you told me that you and your wife were having a third baby, I was like, no way.
Actually, I think that was my response.
Okay. No, stop.
No, there was some more words in there.
That'd be like if Jay says, I have this date with a really great girl, and I'm like, no way.
I can understand the reaction.
No, come on. That's not the typical response you get when you tell someone that you're engaged and getting married.
No, it's not.
No way. No. Anyway, so he's all proud of himself because he and his family did an investigation and figured out that they live across the street. He goes, you're a celebrity. I was like, oh, no. I just talk about sports. It's not a big deal. I like to keep a low profile.
So was he just waiting for the next time he saw you?
Yeah, I think he
all
was.
All of this information?
Yeah, had a lot to say. He had a lot to
he
say.
He definitely was like writing it down and planning out what he was going to say the next time he saw you. He had all this notes on his mind.
He had all kinds of things that he needed to get off his chest.
He's in the notes.
Which is good. I mean, I'm glad that he is proud to be my neighbor. And I think it is really funny that he and his son were talking about it and trying to figure out whether or not it was me.
You ever think he was like looking out the window trying to catch you in a moment when you're like walking to the car or something?
Oh, or
I think mowing the garbage the lawn. Out right now.
Yeah, mowing the lawn. I don't know. That's a good question. He was out there putting his trash cans out on the street.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I thought was really funny, just as a follow-up. He figured it out. But programming note, and I hate it when I have to do this, but I want to be real with you. We got stood up by our guest on Monday. So I was supposed to talk to Connecticut Sun President Jennifer Rosati, and I teased it multiple times because Jen and I, we worked together for nearly a decade at University of Hartford women's basketball when she was the coach there. And she's very reliable typically. I've never had this issue with her before, so I don't know what happened. Just that we were all connected. We were waiting. We had a producer here, so I was at home with equipment to be able to record a conversation from home. And she never called. And we waited for a good half hour. Jay finally got a hold of the PR rep for the Sun. I don't know. Something got lost in translation. I'm not sure. She didn't really have a good reason.
Still didn't help much.
Yeah, we don't actually know why we didn't connect with Jen. Hoping that we can reschedule, but I'm kind of bummed because I was so sure that it was going to happen that I mentioned it multiple times on the air, and so now I'm the one who looks like the fool, of course. Mm-hmm. This is why you generally don't tease interviews until you have them a lot of times. That's usually my
That's
plan.
Usually the rule of thumb, yes.
Right, exactly. So I'm kind of bummed because it would have been the perfect time to have her on the show. She's very open and pretty candid, but don't know what happened. I haven't received any type of anything except for apologies from the PR rep with the Sun. So we get stood up. So what happens? WNBA is now big time. So you...
there you go.
Jay and I were so upset about it because we were really looking forward to it. Not to mention, you know, there's equipment to set up and my husband had to take the dog for a walk, so she wasn't running around. Like, we had it all. We were all ready to go.
Things.
We were coordinating things and then... wah, wah, wah. Yeah. So
we got big timed.
The most exciting conversation I had on Monday was, in fact, my very eager neighbor. That was it.
See?
Actually, the conversations I have with myself are generally pretty interesting, too. But
yeah, I don't think you're supposed to talk about that out loud.
No, we're not going to. We're not going to.
I think we all do it, but I think we all pretend that we don't do it.
Uh-oh.
Is that how it works?
See, when I can't pretend because when I would walk my dog in the neighborhood, she and I would have the best conversations. And it didn't look like I was talking to myself.
Yeah, does everybody think they're funny? You know what I mean?
I'm not funny at all.
No, I'm going to go with yeah. Most people do. Yeah. Not about everybody. Most people think they're a hell of a lot funnier than they are. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I would think so. Yes. But also people think higher of themselves than most people think of them.
Well, I guess if you're making a joke, you wouldn't make it unless you thought it was funny, right?
Oh, I'm the bad guy.
Well,
I'm just saying the truth.
I don't think it's true with you, though. You're fairly self-deprecating.
I am very self-deprecating, but I'm an outlier. I'm also the guy that watched sports before I knew who the players were. I'm strange. So I'm aware of that aspect. But I think most people think higher of themselves than they truly are. And that's nothing wrong with that. You got to have confidence. Good for you. Good for you.
Well, I'm a celebrity. I don't know about you.
See? There you go.
Ew, that word sounds so gross coming out of my mouth. All right. Justin Jefferson, he is a legit celeb. And now he's got his first major deal with the Vikings. And by major, I mean he's getting paid more than any other non-QB in the NFL and really in NFL history. You'll hear from him coming up.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Third down. Vikings 30% on third down. Third and 10 from the Giants 17. Cousins. Shotgun. Empty backfield. Giants rush four. Kirk. Protected sweetly. Fires to JJ. Touchdown. Vikings. Justin Jefferson extends the lead to 23-16. He's JJ.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, okay, Mr. Dramatic with the music behind the double pane glass. Wow, producer Jay's spinning it. Hey, can you still call him JJ when there's another guy that actually goes by JJ on your roster, or no? I mean, it just is he JJ1 and the other's JJ2?
That's how I would imagine they did it.
Huh.
That's what I would do. Just put it on the uniform.
Or he gets called Jettas instead, and then it's JJ McCarthy.
I think Jefferson's earned it. Even though I know that's like JJ's name, but still.
The Vikings and their star wideout, Justin Jefferson, have agreed to a huge deal. We knew it was coming, but these numbers are eye-popping nonetheless. Every time it's the fattest non-quarterback contract in the sports history, even though I know the next one's going to be the biggest and the next one's going to be bigger than that, it's still, to me, monopoly money that I can't wrap my brain around. But 4 years in, he had 1 year left, obviously, on his rookie deal because of the option. Where was he? Yeah. He had 1 year left on the rookie deal. And in the 4 years, 392 catches, nearly 5,900 receiving yards and 30 touchdowns, not to mention multiple awards and obviously a great connection with Kirk Cousins that kept the Vikings relevant over the last couple of years. Even when their defense was pretty tough, they were one of the best offensive combos in the NFL, even winning the NFC North a couple seasons ago. And he'll be 25 years old in June, so he's very much in the prime of his career. And yeah, a little more subdued on Instagram in reacting to the deal that will pay him $110 million fully guaranteed. The life of the contract is $140 million, and you can imagine why this is, it's really impactful.
The time has finally come. The deal I've been waiting for since I was a little kid. Being doubted my whole career, not being highly recruited, not being the first receiver off the draft board. This whole journey wasn't easy for me. First off, I want to thank the man above. Without God, this wouldn't be possible at all. To be given a gift to play football at the highest level. It's a blessing. It's an honor. My mom and dad, thank you. This is a journey for all of us. And y'all still with us every step of the way. To my brothers, Ricky and Jordan, y'all are everything. Y'all made me who I am today. This is a new step in our journey, a new step in life. Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi, the Wolves, I appreciate y'all for giving me this opportunity. Ben, my agent, thank you for getting this deal done. Last but not least, thank you to the fans. Y'all set the tone, y'all set the mood, y'all set the energy, and I'm definitely excited to set that energy for 5 more years. Thank you, all of the ones that supported me throughout the whole way. This is the start of it, but we ain't done yet. Just wait.
Former star at LSU, gets drafted number 22 overall. I just looked it up. I didn't remember. By the Vikings in the first round of his draft. Has 1 year left on his rookie deal, which is why he says 5 years, because the extension will tack on at the end of 2024. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Immediately upon signing, $88.73 million. So the bulk of the fully guaranteed money comes to him right away. How about that? Forget winning the lottery. That's incredible. 88 plus, actually nearly $89 million due on signing. Wowzers.
I feel like your banking app's got to like give you some sort of ping or notification for that much.
Not if you're Otani, but yes, for everybody else. So this is fun to think back.
Jefferson, you may remember, turned down a contract offer from the Vikes before the 23 season. So not quite a year ago, he turned down an offer that would have paid him over $28 million per year. Instead, what's the phrase? He bet on himself, a la an Aaron Judge, if you will. And instead, now, this extension is paying out $35 million per year. And just so you know how this kind of stuff works, the average annual value is just $1 million more than Nick Bosa, who previously set the record for highest paid non-QB in NFL history. So that's kind of how this happens, which means, of course, that the next guy that comes along, if he's in this category, meaning impact player, superstar, puts butts in the seats, a number one guy, well, yeah, he's likely to get more than Justin Jefferson. Who is that? Well, Mark Ross, he looks at the wide receiver market. We'll get to that next hour. Also, Novak Djokovic may have run into a bit of an issue in his quest for a 25th Grand Slam singles title and an upset at the Women's College World Series. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons. The diseases that I am protecting my child against, they're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.